Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today begins a six-week series on the Psalms. What do you know about the Psalms?
Every emotional system there is.
The emotions of them?
Well, there's anger, there's love, there's...
Well, that's true. There's anger, there's love. You ever read any of the Psalms? You've probably heard at least one. Well, two, because you just heard Psalm 1 a moment ago, and you've probably heard Psalm 23 at some point in your life. Maybe a few others. Traditionally, a lot of them get credited to King David, either by him or for him. Some of them are credited to or for some of the other kings. Did you know that they're numbered differently whether you read them in Hebrew or Greek? Of course they are. Because the more I learn about those languages, the more frustrating they become. What we think of as Psalm 23, if we were to use them in a synagogue, it would be Psalm 22. There's your little worthless fact for the day. But originally, and I think Diana mentioned this, they were set to music, right? The word psalm comes from a Greek word, psalmoi, which means instrumental music, which means that really what these are the words that accompany the music. And in many churches, and even from here at times, depending on the worship service, we've done that call and response, the back and forth, between a lead singer, a cantor, and the congregation. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Someone sings, you know, da, 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 or something, and then congregation calls back. My dad kind of hinted that this is different types of psalms. Some of them are songs of praise. Some of them are psalms of lament. Some of them are royal psalms. Some of them are psalms of thanksgiving. The series we're going to do praise for 2 weeks, and then we're going to do lament for 2 weeks, and then we're going to do two more weeks of praise. So now you've been warned. We're praising this week and next, and then we're lamenting. I expect to see all of you here for the lament. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or take the path that sinners tread or sit in the seat of scoffers. It's an interesting way to start. This is the first psalm. This is the introduction to the Psalms. For someone who is reading through these, this is the first one you come across, which means these are the first words you come across. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. It begins with a negative. I don't mean doing bad things. I mean it begins with a negative. Happy are those who don't do this, as opposed to those who do this. You follow me? It doesn't begin by saying happy are those who do A, B, and C. It begins by saying, happy are those who do not do X, Y, and Z. It's interesting how that sinner route that gets mentioned, the path that sinners tread. And what are we always saying that in the Lutheran faith in particular, we look at sin as what? The self turned inward. That path that sinners tread, it's a path, it's well trod, it's identifiable, it's recognizable. I know what we did a little earlier with the different paths that Diana was doing during the children's message and all that. There's no path identified here for the opposite. The only path that gets referenced is the path that the sinners are treading. The alternative, apparently, is not as clear. You follow that? It's really easy the sinner's path, the self-turn inward. It's an easy, well-defined, noticeable path. Because it's well-trod, because it's the one that we all want to follow. The alternative is harder to see, harder to recognize. It's uncharted. It's the rarer route to take. You ever heard that old poem, Two Roads Diverged in a Yellow Wood? Does that ring a bell for anyone? Am I causing nightmares of English lit gone by? That's true. I'm sure John could do the whole thing. Robert Frost, two roads diverged in a yellow wood. The road not taken. Everybody nods, say, yes, Pastor Chris. I know exactly what you're talking about. It's the easiest way to get me to keep going. It's this poem about this speaker reflecting back on his life. And we oftentimes, for those who have heard it before, we oftentimes misunderstand it. Because if you read through the whole thing, it's called The Road Not Taken. We oftentimes take this poem as some sort of, inspiring words of wisdom that in life, go take the road not taken. Go take the untrod path. But if you read through the whole poem, at the very end of it, the speaker says, as he looks back on his life, and later I shall tell this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in a wood and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. I'll get back on track. The end of the poem, when he looks back at his life, he doesn't say this is what I did, he says this is what I'm going to tell myself I did. You follow that? He doesn't say, yeah, I had this opportunity and I went with it. He says, I recognize that later in life, I will look back at this moment and tell myself that I did that which I wish I had done. So I'll feel better about it. It's less an inspiring poem and more a, oh, that's true. Because it's what we do. Because it's easier that way. This poem sounds really honest to me. It's very human. It is so much easier to take that well-trod path. The path of the sinner is referred to in the psalm. The self turned inward. It's so much easier to sit in the comfortable seat. There's no seat mentioned for the righteous. There's the seat of the scoffers. But then you tell yourself later on that you acted differently. And more honestly. How does this psalm describe the more honorable route? It says, the people on that, their delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law they meditate both day and night. And if you look at that word, meditate, it's a horrible translation. Because what the word really says is that they utter the law of the Lord both day and night. They recite the law of the Lord both day and night. I've asked you before about the word disciple. Do you remember what a disciple is? Student. Everybody say a disciple is a student. Good job. We're going to make this sink in. It's ironic given the definition we're using right now. A disciple is a student, but a disciple is also a student who takes on the teachings of another and passes them on. The description in this psalm of the way of the righteous is that of a disciple. One who meditates on the law both day and night, one who recites the law, who utters the law, who takes God's law in, holds it, and passes it on to others. That tree metaphor that was in the middle of the psalm. Did you catch there was a tree metaphor? mentions this tree being planted by the water. Now, around here, you don't have to plant a tree by the water, because we have water. But some places are not so lucky. Some places are not so blessed. You plant that tree by the water in the desert, and all of a sudden, it's going to live. It's going to keep perpetuating. And what type of tree is it? It's a tree that yields its fruit in its season. It's not a cedar tree. It's not a cypress tree. It's a fruit tree. What do we know about fruit trees? What do you do with the fruit of a fruit tree? You eat it. How much easier could I have made that one for you? You eat it. You take the fruit and you eat it, and it provides sustenance. But the other route, how is it described? It's described as chaff. Chaff that the wind drives away. And I know that all of you are good Midwestern farm children. Being sarcastic. Didn't you? You all grew up like, I'm kidding. Do you know what chaff is? We see it in the Bible all the time. Chaff is the leftover residue when you thresh grain. You take grain and there is this inedible, hard outer shell to it, husk. That's the chaff. And you got to bang away at that with something, grind it or hit it. Literally, you will find pictures. The old way they used to do it is they took big sheaves of wheat and they bashed it against rocks, which is incredibly inefficient. But it's what they did. Or they crushed it beneath oxen. Because they had to get that chaff off to get to the seed on the inside that they could eat and make bread out of, and grain and such. Which means that this psalm is literally describing the way of sin, the way of the self turned inward. Not only is it not nutritious, like that fruit of the tree, but it's preventing you from getting to something nutritious. You follow that? The chaff is in the way of what you actually can eat. It's worse than just not being good for you. It's actually preventing you from getting what you need to survive. This whole thing begins by saying, happy are those. That's how the psalm begins. That's how the psalms begin. Happy are those. I remember back when I was in confirmation. And the pastor at the time had, for whatever reason, one of the questions that he asked us, what do you want to be in life? What do you want out of your life? Something like that. And I remember that for whatever reason, my answer to him was, I wanted to be happy. And it's not because I wasn't happy. Don't worry, Mom and Dad. I'm happy. I generally am, so it's okay. But I think it's because for me, I'd always thought being happy meant that I was going to feel productive. That I was going to feel like I had contributed something to the world. I think for me, I've always kind of thought of being happy as somehow being, I don't know, making a difference. That gives me pleasure and makes me feel happy. And that's a really laudable goal and stuff. But then I think back to this psalm and I reflect on it a bit. And I realize that all of this is trying to remind me that happiness is not about what I do. It's about who I am. And most importantly, it's about who created me. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be diving into the Psalms, seeing what kind of wisdom we can find in there. I hope you enjoy the journey. Let us pray. We thank you, O God, for this opportunity to come together in your name, to ponder your word, and to find wisdom in you. We ask you to bless us this day and always, to help us to be aware of the ways in which you have called us. And we pray all of these things, trusting in your holy, good, and gracious name. Amen.